It's a success and an honor to be here today. As I say every week, one of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayigash. Such an emotional and such a jam-packed Parsha. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple questions. And then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Vayigash, left us off in a cliffhanger in last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Miketz. And the Torah tells us in Perek Memdalet, Pasuk Yidches, Vayigash Elav Yehuda. And Yehuda approaches Yosef, Vayomer Bi Adoni Yidaber Na Avdecha. And he says, listen, please, my Lord, Daber Baznei Adonai Vayichar Apecha. Don't get angry with us. Ki kamocha kiparo, for you're being like Paro. And this emotional exchange between Yosef and Yehuda. And Yehuda says to Yosef, you're not allowed to take him. You can't take Binyamin. You don't even know what you'll do to our father. Our father said that you can't take him down. And we took him down and I promised. And I said, I'm gonna take him. And we know what happened was that Yosef couldn't take it anymore. The Pasuk tells us in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Aleph, V'lo Yachol Yosef Litapek L'chol Anitzavim Alav. Yosef couldn't take it anymore. And the question number one is, what was so emotional, what was so changing that made Yosef just break down and realized that he couldn't take it anymore? Question one. Then right after, history changed. Yosef turns to his brothers. Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Yosef El Achav, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avichai, V'lo Yachol Achav La'anos Oto, Ki Nifal Niponov. Yosef turns to his brothers and he says, I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? And his brothers couldn't answer him. Says the very famous Beis Halevi, probably one of the most famous Beis Halevis in the Kol HaTorah Kula. The Beis Halevi, the Salvechik dynasty, the great-grandfather of Rav Yosef Dov Salvechik, the father of Rav Chaim, the great Beis Halevi, quotes the Medrash. The Medrash tells us, Amar Rav Kohen Abba Bardala, Oy lanu miyoyim hadin, oy lanu miyoyim hatokacha. Woe is to the one when they get to judgment, woe is to the one when they have their day of rebuke. And ask the Beis Halevi, what was the rebuke here? What was Yosef saying to the brothers? Of course, we know that Yaakov is still alive. That's all the brothers kept on telling Yosef. My father's alive, my father's alive. You can't bring Binyamin down. What will my father say? And Yosef turns to them and he says, Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. What was that musr? What was that rebuke? He didn't say anything. Question two. Question three. We know it gets so emotional. And it gets emotional between Yosef and Binyamin. And Yosef and Yamin fall on each other and they cry. And Rashi says that when they fell on each other, they were really crying over the Beis HaMikdash, over the Shtei Mikdashos, found in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Yudal, Rashi quoting down from Bereishis Rabba, quoting down from the Gemara, and Daf, Tezayin Amadeis, She'asidin Lios Bechelko Shel Ben Yamin V'Sofo Licharev, that they're destined to be in Ben Yamin's portion, and then it's going to be destroyed. And that's why they were crying. Why were they just not crying? Because it was emotional. They never saw each other before. Binyamin, again, Binyamin's an older man here. He's not young. We view Binyamin as a very young man. He's not. He's an older man here. He has a lot of children. He has 10 children. And they're named all after Yosef. And they're crying. And Rashi brings that medrash from the Gemara that they're crying over the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Maybe they're just emotional. And furthermore, we know that the Torah tells us in Perek of Zion, Vayidaber Elav et kol divrei Yosef asher diber aleihem, Vayaret agalos. Yosef sends the agalos, he sends the wagons. Rashi quotes down from the famous Medrash, what agalos are we talking about? Says Rashi, quoting down from the Medrash, that when Yaakov and Yosef were learning together, the last thing they were learning together was the Agola, was the wagon, the Agola, the Egla Arufa. That when you find a calf, and you don't know where you find someone that passed away, and you don't know who that person is, you go and you break a calf. That's what Egla Arufa is. There's another Medrash. The Medrash goes on further and says, you know what the Agola was? The Agola was the Agola of the Mishkan. That's what the Agola that Yosef sent to his father Yaakov to tell him that I'm really alive. Ask the Meshech Chochmah, what was that Agola? What was that Agola of the Mishkan? What does that have to do with anything? And lastly, we know that we're in Asara B'Tevis. And we know Asara B'Tevis represents the idea of Nebuchadnezzar. Tells us in Malachim Beis that Nebuchadnezzar had besieged the city. And he besieged Yerushalayim, which is going to come. All the different things, the start of the destruction of the first place of Migdash. But there's a very interesting halacha that Abu Jaham says that the only fast day that if it would fall out on Shabbos, Asar B'Tevis, we would keep Asar B'Tevis. Ask the Beis Yosef, I don't get it. The only fast that we keep on Shabbos is Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabboson. Says the Beis Yosef, why would we keep the fast of Asar B'Tevis on Shabbos? And now, today, right? Erev Shabbos, we have a fast so rare that it comes out on Erev Shabbos. It's like confusing a little, right? Go right into Kiddush, break your fast on a little grape juice, a little wine, don't get chinker. And the question is, why can Asar B'Tevis, according to the Savu Jeraham, why can it come out on Shabbos? Why is it different than all the other fasts? So let's just review the questions. The first question is that Vayigash Elav Yehuda, the whole conversation between Yehuda and Yosef, Yehuda showing his leadership. Again, Yehuda messed up a long time ago when he sold. He had the ability to step up to the plate and he messed up. But why did Yosef get so emotional here? Furthermore, when it says, Ani Yosef, Ha'odav Yichai, what was that rebuke? Why does the Medrash say, Oilonu Mayom Adim, Oilonu Mayom Atochucha? And furthermore, what were these Agalas? What were these Agalas that Yosef sent Yaakov? What does that represent? Either the Egla Rufor or the Agalas of the Mishkan. What was so special about those? And why Asar B'Tevis, according to the Savu Jeraham, would even be able to be, if it fell on Shabbos, would it even keep it? Again, nowadays, it's falling out on Friday. But what is so unique about Asar B'Tevis? So just to start off with question one, the story with Yehuda and Yosef, the conversation, Yehuda says something amazing to Yosef, and I think it was game-changing in Yosef's life. Yehuda turns to Yosef, and he says to him, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't take Binyamin. It says in Perek Memdalet Pasuk of Zayim, Ayomer Adecho Avi Aleinu Atem Yedaten Ki Shnayim Yaldala Ishti. Do you know that my father, he had a wife that had two sons. V'yetze Echon Mi'iti. One left us. V'omer Af Tarof Tarof. V'lo Ra'isi Arheina. And it was torn to pieces. And you should take this one, and a disaster will befall him. You'll bring him down. Rashi says that what's the disaster? Right now he's being consoled with Binyamin, but the fact is that if you take Binyamin, then the fact that he lost his mother, Rachel, his most beloved, the fact that he loved Yosef, he loved him and taken away from him. And now Binyamin, the favorite wife, Rachel, everything's taken away. And you know, this is a turning point for Yosef. We spoke about it last week. How come Yosef didn't reveal himself? 22 years, he could have revealed himself. He was the second in command in Mitzrayim, the leading nation. He could have got word that he's alive. And we gave so many perushim, either according to the Ramban, he had to fulfill the dreams in Nevuah, or according to the Abarbanel, and he needed to get them to a level of tshuva, of repentance. But maybe, perhaps, Yosef didn't know. He didn't know exactly. Again, his father told him to go to Shechem. All of history changed with the Malach Gabriel, which we spoke about. But maybe Yosef didn't know exactly. He knew that, yeah, he knew that his father loved him, but he doesn't know. His brothers hated him. When Yosef hears Yehuda talking, that his father doesn't know what to do with himself. He's beside himself. Yosef gets so emotional because he realized that his father loves him, that his father's there for him. His father would never want this to happen. And when Yosef hears that, it changes everything. He says, oh my gosh, I need to get in touch with my father. I need to reveal myself now. And Yosef just breaks down. And he gets everyone out, and then he reveals himself. And we see an important lesson here, that a person has to speak up when you deal with your children or your loved ones. And again, sometimes we have, everyone has different brains, and everyone thinks different things, and everyone has different stories in life. That's the beauty of life. Everyone has a different take. Someone's told me that a guy went into his room with a flashlight, and he was telling me the chutzpah of my roommate. And then when I was talking to the roommate, I said, you know, you woke up the guy in the middle of the night with a flashlight? He said, what do you mean? I went into the room, I didn't want to bother him, I wanted to do the least, I didn't want to turn on the light, obviously, but I couldn't find what I needed, so I tried to do the best thing of the flashlight. It's amazing, the same event. But the idea is that we need to speak out things. Again, it was a little harder here because Yosef wasn't there. But we see an important thing, is that Yosef, if Yosef really had the feeling that his father loved him so much, then he would have revealed himself earlier. A person needs to explain, he needs to say what he feels, show the love to the children. The children should show the love to the parents. Such an important idea. Comes along the Beis Halevi. And the Beis Halevi says such an amazing, amazing answer. What was the Musar? So I'll tell you a great story. I heard this story from my Shatkin, the famous Rav Chanuch Teller. Okay, my Shatkin, unbelievable. I told that story before. And he tells a story, a great story. The great Rosh Hashiva. I was zeiche to hear shiurim from him. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he was Rosh Hashiva of Gush. He was the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, and he was a tremendous guy, and he was Rosh Hashiva of Gush. He told his father-in-law, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael, I have to live there. His father-in-law wasn't so happy with him, I heard. But he created the Gush, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was Nifter a couple of years ago. And they tell an amazing story. I heard this story a couple times. It's a powerful story. Can you imagine? Around 25 years ago, people didn't have cell phones. 20 years ago, people didn't have their own personal cell phones. They had something called a payphone. And in Yeshiva Gush, they had a payphone right outside the Beis Medrash. And to get in touch with anyone wasn't so easy. One time, it was very late at night. The phone's ringing. No one's around except for the great Rosh Yeshiva. It was a tremendous mas, made a mamish a bucky. I remember once I was a madrich in NCSY Kolel, and he was giving a shiur, and a fly went on his head. So I was just looking at the fly, just, oh my gosh, it's crazy. This is the only thing I remember about the shiur. I don't remember what the shiur was, but he had a fly, and he just didn't move. It wasn't there. It was unbelievable. And a great story. So the phone's ringing. Finally, he answers it. And he answers the phone. And the girl's like, hello, my name is Rachel. So he's like, hello. That's, I think, actually how he spoke. She said, hi, my name is Rachel. I just want to know if my boyfriend Dov is in the basement. Who is this? So he says, oh, this is Aaron. So she said, Aaron, do you know Dov?
Nope. So Dove is such a must mid. We go out all the time, but the past couple of days he told me he needs to stay in Night Seder. And I'm so proud of him. Aaron, you gotta get to know him. And also, can you give him a message? Can I trust you, Aaron?
Yeah.
Can you tell Dove that I love him? Next day, Baron Lichtenstein, Aaron, calls in Dove to his office. And he says to Dove, I got a call. Rachel called. She says she misses you. And she's very proud of you. And she got to know you. And lastly, she loves you. He didn't say anything. He just relayed the message. You know why? Because that was the biggest Musar Shmooze that Dove probably got for the year. The great Rosh Hashiva Ron Lichtenstein, people had a pachad of him. He's sitting with the room and telling him that his girlfriend called and she loves him. You know what Yosef, you know what the rebuke was? You know what Yosef was saying to the brothers? Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. You keep on going on and on and on about my father. My father, what are you going to do to my father if you take Binyamin? If you do this, you do that. My father, he's old, you do that. Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. I am Yosef. Is my father still alive? And the brothers couldn't answer because they saw the walking contradictions of their life. That they thought one way and they said Yosef, whatever their reasons were, that Yosef was wrong. And one split of a second, everything was flipped. Their whole understanding of the whole story made sense. But Salvechuk would often say that we have such a limited view of life. We view life a certain way. And in one second, it's like someone crocheting. Like in the back of the crocheting, it's all messed up, but there's a beautiful picture. We don't understand everything. And in one second, the brothers realized how wrong they were. Says the Beis HaLevi, Oy lanu miyom hadin, oy lanu miyom hatochecha. Because, Baruch Hashem, we're all working so hard, and we're trying to become Avdei Hashem. We're trying to build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Medrash is telling us a striking mussar. That we need to be consistent with our actions. We need to prioritize what's important. And we need to be real. We can't give excuses. We need to be real. The great Rav Elia Lopian. There was a bachur in his yeshiva. He was a great mashkiach in the yeshiva. And the boy never showed up. He didn't come to shir. He didn't come to davening. Nothing. And Rav Elia Lopian would daven. That the next time he had an airplane, he would miss it. And that day happened. The boy missed his airplane. Again, now, like nowadays, you know, there's no flights. No one's coming into Israel. Corona, no one knows when this is going to end. God willing, it will. With the vaccine. Ah, Hashem doing miracles for us. We have to still daven. That people get well. And there's health in the world. But the boy came to Rav Elia Lopian. And he said, I missed my flight. And he said, Baruch Hashem, I've been davening for this. What do you mean, Baruch Hashem? It's a hard story. Again, maybe we shouldn't have davened each other to not get their flights. But he said, you know why? Because you're going to go up to Shemayim after Mayim Asrim. And Hashem's going to say, hey, why were you late there? Why didn't you show up to anything? Oh, it's not my fault. I'm a boy. It's not my fault. But why did you make the airplane? Wow. You know, when I was going to my chasana, I remember. Shomer got a little lost, and it was a Leibedik, the whole family got involved, they didn't know where I was in the middle of Brooklyn trying to find me, and we were lost, and the wedding was starting, and everyone was getting excited. I got a little excited. And I remember showing up literally the same time as the guests. I think the wedding was called for 3:30, I got there at 3:45, someone asked me, no, Where is the chassan sitting? I'm like, what do you mean? I just got here. They're like, what, are you joking? So I make a joke. Like, when Hashem says, why are you always late? At least, you know, I came late to my wedding. But no, but seriously, we have to live with no contradictions. We have to be straight with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what Yosef was saying. You cared so much about our dad. Then why did you do that to me? What were you thinking? Comes along the Meshech Chachma. And the Meshech Chachma says, beautiful, why the Agala? Yosef sends the Agala to Yaakov. For one very interesting pshat, what's Egla Arufa? Egla Arufa is the whole nation. We don't know the death. We don't know where it's coming from. So the whole nation gets involved and there's a whole process and we take the calf and we break the neck and there's a whole process of all of Klal Yisrael coming together as a tzibur. Comes along Meshech Chochma and he says, Yosef is sending that to Yaakov and saying, listen, although the brothers messed up, and although they were inconsistent with their actions, I still forgive them. I still want Achdus. I'm going to send you the Agalos, the last thing we learned together, representing Egla Rufa, because I want to show you that I want the Achdus. I understand that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Although we're still suffering, we're still in Galos because of Mitzrayim, and we went down to the Galos. And we're still suffering, says the Gemara in Shabbos, because of the chait of Mechiras Yosef. But Yosef is saying, I give them a kapara, says the Meshech Chachma. And you know even what the Agalas are for the Binyan HaMishkan. We just finished Hanukkah not so long ago. And we read every single day. We read the Parshas and the Nesiim. And the Nesiim of all the Shvatim brought, everyone brought their own thing, over and over again. Their own thing, their own karbonis. But if you look carefully in the Psukim, there are 6 Agalos. Oh, there's 12 Shvatim? No. Because each Agala represents the Yachid, the individual, but also the collective Sibur. That Shvatim have to use the Agalos together. The Agalos for the Mishkan. Because that shows that there's Achdus. And that's what Yosef was trying to show Yaakov. That although the brothers messed up, I'm still here, and I'm going to be reunited. Yaakov's coming down, and he's going, he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, and he's coming down to Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, Egli Tal, in the beginning of the Hakdama, his Sefer on Shabbos, talks about this Medrash, how Yaakov goes and he takes the cedar trees, and he takes it down to Mitzrayim with him, because he knows he's going to go into this long galus. Hashem comes to him, B'maris HaLaila, and we've spoken about it a long time ago, how Yaakov represents the Mariv, the darkness, and he's going to go into Chutz La'aretz now. He's going to go, it's his starting the Gullus. It's his starting. That's why when Binyamin and Yosef are crying, they're crying over the Beis HaMikdash, because this is the start of the Gullus, representing that there's going to be darkness. And Hashem comes to him and he says, one of the only 4 personalities, Yaakov, Yaakov. He says his name twice because it's going to be B'maris HaLaila in the darkness of the night. And it's Yaakov, Yaakov, the personal struggle. But I'm going to be with you. And when Yaakov goes and he finally reunites with Yosef, one of the most moving, imagine not seeing a son, Chas V'Shalom, for so many years. And the Medrash tells us, the famous Medrash tells us, that finally they're being reunited. And they fall on each other's face. And the Pasuk tells us in Perek Memvav, Pasuk of Tes, Vayoser Yosef Markavoso, Vayal Likros Yisrael Ovid Goishna, Vayerev Allah, Vayipol Al Savarab, Vayvech Al Savarab. They finally, they see each other and they fall on each other's face. Comes along the Medrash, the famous Medrash, which we all know, that what happened, Yaakov and Yosef are being reunited, so emotional, such an emotional parsha. Like my mother always says, this is the most emotional parsha. It is, it's so emotional, they're being reunited. And Chazal tell us that Yaakov's busy saying Kriyat Shema. What, he was going to miss him on Kriyat Shema? Right now, at this pinnacle moment, they're being reunited. He's going to say, Kriyat Shema. Why is he saying Kriyat Shema? But it makes perfect sense why he's saying Kriyat Shema. Because he's going down to the Golas, he's being reunited with his son. And when you're going to channel the Kedusha. the kedusha of a kriyat shema. The Gemara tells us in Brachos, Tosfos brings down in Daf Yud Beis and Beis, the kriyat shema, kabbalas omachut shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, represents the 613 mitzvos. That is the emunah, the starting the emunah, the kriyat shema. And Yaakov needs to channel it to the Rabbona Shalom, realizing, wow, I never gave up. Although I did give up in my mind, I wasn't sure. I was, Chazal say that he wasn't able to be consoled because he knew. Because Yaakov did what he needed to do. And Hashem brought them back together. But he lived with Hashem, the emunah, even in the darkness, being reunited. And he needed to channel it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needed to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in my life. Even B'maris HaLayla. Even I had so many struggles. Spoke about last week, Alai, the Esavs, the Lavans, the Yosefs. He had so many struggles, but still he persevered. Comes along the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer says something amazing. He says, why is it that Asara B'Teves, right now, the period right now, Asara B'Teves, why is it that that could be on Shabbos? So we know the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, Gemara in Brachos tells us that the only fast that you're really allowed to have is a Tainas Chalom. A person has a bad dream and he has to fast, he's allowed. Why? Because it's really oneg, it's pleasure for him. Why is it pleasure for him? Because finally he had a bad dream and now hopefully it's going to get annulled and it's going to be okay. It says the Chassam Sofer that on Asara B'Teves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is deciding if we're going to have a Tisha B'Av or not. Right now, Hashem is deciding on Asara B'Teves, the start of the besiege of Nebuchadnezzar, if we are going to have a Tisha B'Av in a couple months from now. Hashem is making that decree. Because he says a chiddush that Asara B'Teves was the time that there was Mechiras Yosef and we're still suffering and we want to do a kapara of the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, the Sinas Chinam. Right? The whole idea of Teves represents a gedi, a goat. How they sold the goat, how they shechted the goat, and they used the goat to represent Yosef. And it's amazing, at the end of Haftorah, in Yecheskel has the Nevuah in Perek Lamed Zion, and he takes the stones of Yosef and Yehuda, and he puts it together, and that's the beginning of the Parsha. Yosef represents the idea of going out, reaching out, and Yehuda represents the idea of being an introvert, working on himself. We see this idea all over Shas, that there's this idea, Hashem Elokim, there's Midas Adin and Rachamim, putting it together. And we're going to have them at Mashiach of Yosef, and the Mashiach of Yehuda, the Rachamim and the Din coming together. And we find it all the time. Avram and Yitzchak, Avram was Rachamim, Yitzchak is Din, more to himself, building himself. Avram is a person that goes out, and Yaakov is a person that channels both of those, and he puts it together. And that's the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach ben David of Yehuda. David coming from Yehuda. Because although we're in this Gullus, and although this is the parsha where they're going down to Mitzrayim, but still, Moshe Feinstein says they set up yeshivas. They set up yeshivas to strengthen themselves, the inner strength. To build oneself, to be consistent, like we were talking about. For a person to be consistent with his actions, the sins of the brothers, not being consistent. But realizing that the Rabbona Shalom, our Father in Heaven, loves us and He cares about us. And a person needs to realize that He's in our lives. So we learn from a Parsha Vayigash, the most emotional thing that we channel to the Rabbona Shalom. It was given us so much and He continues to give us so much. And Bez Hashem, this Asara B'Teves, this Parsha Vayigash, will be a kapore, and we'll daven this year, Tisha B'Av, Mashiach will be here, and Bezus Hashem, will mamish be all together, ba'achdus, being all together, doing a kapore for the sin of Mechiras Yosef, and Bezus Hashem, will just keep on growing and growing together. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Shabbos, amazing Parsha Vayigash.